tonight, go with me straight away to Luke 5. Now, you know this passage of Scripture. You've probably, you know, because most of you Thursday nighters are Bible scholars. And so don't lose me here. Because you know, like if you read the Bible a lot, you're like, oh, I know that. That's a very familiar passage of Scripture. I've read it before. That's when Jesus comes by and Peter catches some fish. But don't drift on me. Just focus for a little bit as we move through the text, and we'll go somewhere quickly. Go with me to Luke 5, verse 1, and we'll read. So it was, as the multitudes pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Now, right there, I just want to tell you that this lake isn't very big, is it? Is it, Clarence? It's not that big. You can see from one side to the other. It's not even as big as Lake Erie. It's quite, when they call it a lake, it's a lake. It's like what you would see. It's a lake, but you could see to the other side. And he saw two boats standing by the lake. The boats were standing by the lake. Not in the water, they were standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Now there were fishermen who had been in the boats previously. Now they're not in the boats. The boats are standing up on the dock and they're washing their nets from a night of fishing. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's. So Jesus actually takes Simon's boat, pulls it into the water, and gets in his boat. Isn't that something? How'd you like for Jesus to jack your boat? That's something. And he asked them to put out a little. So now he commandeers Simon, Peter, and he says, put out a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Jesus said, let down your nets. Simon says, I'll let down my net. Yeah, some of us have been there. I'm talking back to Jesus. You ever sass Jesus? Yeah, you have. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. Should have let down the other ones. So they signaled to their partners. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight that your word is alive and powerful. It's the most effective force that is available to us on the earth. We pray tonight that you would hide us all in the cleft of the rock as your glory and goodness passes by within reach of every one of us tonight. And we pray, God, that the preaching and teaching of your word would not be with the eloquence of speech or man's intellect, but it would be a demonstration of the Spirit's power for our lives. We bless you. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. I want to tell you tonight that you are great. You are great. That there is such greatness in you that's yet to be revealed. I'm talking about the kind of greatness that LeBron James shows. And you laugh at that. I'm talking about Michael Jackson greatness. No, don't get religious on me. Just understand what I'm trying to say. I'm not saying you're Michael Jackson or I'm just saying that kind of greatness that he harnessed, that is what you have. That is what is within you. There is something just like this story that is beneath the surface of you that you don't know exists. You think, see, we think we know this lake. we think in our religious thinking that we've been here and fished this pond out. I know every square inch of it, Troy. Stop it. I know how the game is played. I know all about it. I've fished here before. But Peter didn't know. Peter had no idea the greatness of the catch that was just beneath the surface. I mean, it was there. It was there the whole time, wasn't it? It was there the whole time, but he never knew it. Now, when I tell you you're great, see, nothing will frustrate a man as much as what he knows exists, yet is unable to manifest. Oh, yeah. Nothing will disgust you. Nothing will discourage you as much as what you know is in there, but you can't get it out. You can't get it to reveal itself. It'll make you tweet early in the morning. What am I doing at Bob Evans folding these things? Doesn't God have anything better for me? Huh? Because you know there's something in there. And this, you know, like Leon sings, there must be more. My goodness, there must be more than just this silly old casting a pole and jerking on it and jiving on it and trying to get some silly old fish in my boat. Have you ever wondered why? All you men, women, just you know it because you've listened to your husbands tell these stories. Have you ever wondered why men tell fishing tales? How come a fish you catch starts off this big and all your buddies know it because they was there? But when you get back to the house, you're like, man, that fish was this big. Because there is just beneath the surface. See, there is the more than a conqueror inside of you that desires to conquer for greatness. Yesterday, it was my honor to sit and watch my son sign his letter of intent. Yesterday was the signing day for all of the college recruits who are about to receive their monies for, what are they called, scholarships. And so, you know, they sit at that table, and there was about eight of them up there. And Jeremiah's right in the middle. And he's going to Bryant University, full ride, $50,000 a year. $50,000 a year. I was, yes. That's my boy up there. Had the little Bryant hat right there. He was, you know, just all, I'm like, and all the parents, listen, all the parents were looking at their congratulations. Congratulations. Hey, congratulations on your son going to Michigan. Congratulations. Hey, congratulations. We were congratulating one another. Well, I'm not going nowhere. I'm not going to Bryant University. I'm not getting paid to play football and learn. Could you imagine that? I thought about that. I thought, man, son, you are getting paid to play a game and read some books. I do that for nothing. But I fear that in the church, in the kingdom, we fear greatness. We shun it. We shrink back from it. We have a false sense of humility towards it. It's a lie. That is a lie. Because here's what it is. Because when I sat there, and I looked at the greatness of the achievement of my son, I can tell you that I wasn't angry at his greatness. I wasn't displeased at his greatness. I sat there as his father, And his moment of greatness, listen, this is what it did. His moment of greatness testified to my greatness. That's why those parents said, congratulations, 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 because the greatness that is in here got in there, and now the greatness of the Father has been given to the Son, and now the Son is sitting and he's operating in his treasure of greatness, and the world is taking notice and they're paying for this greatness. But how many times is it only the world that is allowed to be great? Here's what Lady Gaga said. I have to read this for you. She said, I used to walk down the street. I know, look, I use it because it means something. Because she's not in the kingdom. She's not in the kingdom, but she is revealing greatness from within her. So just listen to what she says. You might learn something. It says, I used to walk down the street like I was a fabulous star, but she didn't say fabulous. She didn't say she's not in the kingdom. She said, like I was a fabulous star. I want people to walk around delusional about how great they can be. Do you hear this woman? She said, I want people to walk around delusional about how great they can be. She said, I want the people that listen to me to walk around with the delusion that they are as great and can be as great as I've become. And she says this, and then to fight so hard for it every day that the lie becomes the truth. This is some... She don't know Jesus from Joe. But you know what she knows? She knows there's more in here. That she knew one day, when she was born as a little girl, she probably was like, there's something in here. There's something bigger than what, you know. And everybody probably looked at her like, who do you think you are? Don't you know, you should just tone that down and stop being so prideful and arrogant. And they probably stifled her. But she walked around like she was a fabulous star. Fabulous. And then she taught people. Ooh, Jesus. She taught people to walk around with the same attitude. Don't get mad at me. Do we get mad at each other for being great? Easy. Do we? Here's some lyrics to a song. Of another secular dude. Here's this secular guy. His name is Travie McCoy. You don't know Jesus from Joe. Or maybe he does. I don't know. But he has some. I'm not going to say the words. But listen. This is the words to a song. He says, I want to be a billionaire. Some of you, if you've heard it, raise your hand. I want to be a billionaire. Okay. I'm going to just read the lyrics for you. It says, I want to be a billionaire. So bad, but he doesn't say so bad. But he says, by all the things I never had, I want to be on the cover of Forbes magazine, smiling next to Oprah and the Queen. Oh, every time I close my eyes, I see my name in shining lights. Yeah, a different city every night. Oh, I swear the world better prepare for when I'm a billionaire. That's inspiring. Listen, yeah, I would have a show like Oprah. I would be the host every day, Christmas, give Travie your wish list. I'd probably pull an Angela and Brad Pitt and adopt a bunch of babies that ain't never had anything. I'd give away a few Mercedes, like, here, lady, have this. And last but not least, grant somebody their last wish. It's been a couple months since I've single, so you can call me Travie Claus minus the next one. Get it? I'd probably visit where Katrina hit, and I'm darn sure do a lot more than FEMA did. Yeah, I can't forget about. Yeah, you can't forget about me, stupid. Everywhere I go, I have my own theme music. Every time I close my eyes, I see my name in shining lights, a different city every night. Oh, I swear the world better prepare for when I'm a billionaire. He goes on, he says, I'll be playing basketball with the president, dunking on his delegates. Then I'll compliment him on his political etiquette, toss a couple mil in the air just for the heck of it. But keep the fives, twenties, his and biz completely separate. And yeah, I'll be in a whole new tax bracket. We in a recession, but let me take a crack at it. I'll probably take whatever's left and just split it up so everyone that I love can have a couple bucks. And not a single tummy around me would know what hungry was, eating good, sleeping soundly. I know we all have a similar dream. Go in your pocket, pull out your wallet, put it in the air and sing. Oh, the world better prepare for when I'm a billionaire. This is just some dude singing a song about what he knows is inside of him that he desires to manifest in front of him. And tonight, when I tell you that there is greatness yet to be revealed in your life, I'm not just speaking allegorically. I'm not just speaking whimsically. I'm not just speaking about, yeah, God's going to do, you know, maybe someday. No, I'm serious when I say there is greatness in your life that is yet to be revealed, that people will tell stories that they should be telling stories about. They should be making movies about. They should be writing books about it, paintings about it. There should be your life. You have been created to reveal the glory of your Father. You have been. You have been. When my son sat up there, his glory was a reflection of my glory. When I sat up there and said, that's my son. Congratulations, because that's your son. There was no shrinking back in fear. Listen to this. There's actually a theory of greatness. Did you know that? It was developed in the 1900s, and it was by a guy named Carlyle. He said, the great man theory, it's called the great man theory. It's a 19th century idea according to which history can be largely explained by the impact of great men or heroes. Highly influential individuals who, due to their personal charisma, intelligence, or wisdom, or political skill, utilized their power in a way that had a decisive impact on history. So he has this theory that suggests that the greatness of man determines history. That the history of the world is but the biography of great men. I ask you this, does the history of the world belong to those who are not Christ's? Should the history that the world tells belong to those who are not in covenant with the one who actually formed it and hangs it upon nothing? When the history books go down and we are gone from here, what will they tell of the greatness that was within us? Or will it tell a story at all? Carlyle said this. He also felt that the study of great men was profitable to one's own heroic side, that by examining the lives of such heroes, one could not help but uncover something about one's own true nature, that there is greatness there. Ask yourself whether the dream of heaven and the greatness should be waiting for us in our graves, or whether it should be ours here and now on the earth. Satan's strategy is this. Here's Satan's strategy: to suppress and to lie to you and to convince you that this false sense of humility to release the greatness of God to the earth should be a shame to you. To convince you somehow that the greatness that you sense is there, that thing that you know, the eternity that God's put in your heart. And let me tell you this, it does not matter how old you are, what color you are, what gender you are. And we'll get to time here in a minute. It'll be my third point, and it'll probably be when I close. But it does not matter. None of that matters. Because Jesus doesn't operate on time. But his trick and his deception is to convince you to suppress that greatness that you feel is in there. That you know exists beneath the surface of your life. But you've been, for some reason, if there was nothing more frustrating, nothing more discouraging in a man or woman's life than getting close to greatness, but never revealing it. And you all shake your head because we all now in our minds, we go there and we might remember you remember the time when it almost surfaced? You remember the time and it was like the sweet spot of your life. You know what the sweet spot is on a baseball bat? When you hit it right at the right spot, right at the center of the bat. And if you hit it at the sweet spot, it goes forever. I mean, it just like launches it. Very little energy is used, but the ball goes farther and farther than it ever has. That's the moment your greatness was almost revealed. And the enemy, what he does is he comes along and he suppresses it. He says, you're stupid for thinking like that. You should be ashamed of yourself being so prideful like that. Jesse, you shouldn't think of yourself as the great. You are the greatest guitar and musician that's ever lived. And you're like, oh, don't put that on me. But what did God say to Abraham in Genesis 12? He said, I will make your name great. Check it for yourself. And then when there's this discussion in the New Testament, I think it's found in Matthew 18 or something, but Jesus' boys are talking about who's going to be the greatest. They're talking about, not one time does Jesus chastise them for desiring greatness. What he chastises them for is their means to accomplish the thing that they desire. He said, no, yeah, you are going to be great, but the way you're trying to go about it is all messed up. Your greatness will not come at the expense of somebody else. Oh my gosh, I wish somebody would write that down. Your greatness should never come at the expense of somebody else. Why is there such competition over greatness? It's the most arrogant, egotistical thing in the world. If you think about it. To think that God has only distributed his greatness to him. And I covet his greatness. It's the greatest like insult to God to say, I want his. And you deny yours. The greatest deception that he has here. Luke 5, go there. Luke 5 verse 2, it says, and he saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. And then Luke 5:5 says, but Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let it down the net. I will let down the net. He wants to minimize your potential of greatness. And God wants to reveal your greatness to receive the glory from it. The lie. Have you ever been on a boat or seen one of these things? It's called a fish detector. Raise your hand if you've seen a fish detector, right? What the fish detector does is this. Is while you're cruising along in your boat, it's really a marvelous thing. It's like the spirit realm for somebody, you know? Like you're cruising along in life, and all of a sudden the spirit speaks to you. And you're like, stop. There's fish underneath the boat. But this little thing, you're driving along, and the fish actually show up on the screen, right? Like, okay, stop. Now you would think it's a slam dunk at this point. If the fish are on the screen, they're right beneath the boat. Hey, let's catch some fish, right? How many know it doesn't work that way? I went fishing one time, and we had to pay a lot of money for this stupid fish finder, right? And you're going, you're cruising along, and you see the fish on the screen, and you're like, stop, dude. There's fish underneath us right now, gazillion of them. Like, there's little tiny fishies everywhere. Stop the boat, let's fish. And you go to fish, and you catch nothing. Now, you knew, how frustrating is that? We knew by looking at the screen, there was something there. The screen told us. There is something underneath your boat right now. There's something underneath your boat right now. There is the greatest catch ever underneath your boat right now. But the most frustrating, discouraging thing is to know it exists, but not be able to catch it. It's there. You know it's there. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Greater. His greatness is in there. We know it's in there. We sense it's in there, but we can't catch it. This unrevealed greatness pesters us. But you see, where we spend our time, and if I could see, and that what I wanted to do is get a couple boats in here and set them up, because this is what I see. This is what I see in the spirit. I see empty boats everywhere. I just see empty boats. Because the empty boats on the docks of life that have been they've been abandoned. Because we're tired of toiling and struggling and frustrating ourselves, trying to catch the promises that we know God has for us, trying to release this greatness that's on the inside of us. And so after we toiled so long, we're like, God, I'm tired. I'm so tired, God. I'm exhausted. I haven't slept in days. My hands hurt. I prayed all night. I caught nothing. I looked around. Everyone else is maxing out, man. Everyone else is catching their limit. Everybody else is basking in their greatness. And here I am. I'm on the dock. I quit. And we go and we live our lives from the dock. We live our life on the dock of life. And you know the docks? The docks are where discouragement lives. This is where you begin to question yourself, what am I doing wrong? The place where greatness is frustrated on the docks of life. We spend our time here hanging out. And Jesus says, hey, look, I've been here all night. I watched you. Because if you check the story out, it says that he was there the whole time. He was by. Go up to verse 1. Give me Luke 5:1. So it was, a multitude was pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake. Yeah, right there. Go back. He stood by the lake. He stood by the lake. Jesus. Peter is washing his nets. He's on the dock, and Jesus is there the whole time. And he's like, dude, I really could have used some help out there, man. Like, where you been? But he's by the lake the whole time. And what does he say? Look at what he says. You know it exists, but you can't catch it. Others are catching their limits. They're basking in their greatness. What am I doing wrong? What's the trick? What do you do? Verse 4 says this. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon. When Jesus was done, he looked at Simon and he said, launch and let. Launch out and let down your nets. What do you do? What do you do when you're so frustrated and you're so tired with life, so discouraged by it, that you just want to quit? You just want to hang it up. You're like, God, you know, I've prayed for people and they died. I went and laid hands on a mother with a baby that was 6 months. How old was she? How many? 5 months pregnant. Went and laid hands or prayed for, believed in faith, and she died. Can I tell you, I woke up the next morning when Marilyn called me and I said, God, I quit. I'm done. I took my boat and I put it up and I went over and said, I'm washing my nets and I'm done. But you know, Peter was an experienced fisherman. Because we know, because he had a boat and he had some nets. And he was actually fishing. That tells me that the rabbis of his day didn't think he was cut out to become a rabbi. So they said, because the code was, hey, if you got the goods, you would follow in the footsteps of the rabbi. But if you didn't have the goods, the rabbi would say to you, go and do the trade of your father. You don't got what I got. Which is another story. But he says, go and do what your father does for a living. And so Peter now is an experienced fisherman. He has been here a long time. He grew up in this thing, man. He sat on these seats. He's been there the whole time. He knows the rigmarole of church. I got that call. I said, God, this doesn't make any sense to me. I don't understand this. Oh. And you get discouraged, right? You get tired. And you're like, I've been in this faith thing for a long time, God. I've been launching and I've been letting for a long time. That don't make no sense to me. I just don't get it. And then Jesus shows up, right? He shows up. He always shows up. Because he's always been there. But then we're like, we're right there. And we're in our moments, we're like that. He always shows up, doesn't he? He shows up and what does he say? Get back in the boat. I don't want to get back in the boat. Tired. Hands hurt. I need some sleep. It's like, just get back in the boat. And you get the boat. I had to believe that Jesus got the boat. Pulled it over to the water. Rocks everywhere. Get in. And Jesus got in the boat first. Come on. Come on. Get back in the boat. Has he told you to get back in the boat before? You don't want to get back in the boat. You're tired. You quit. And you get back in the boat. And what do you do when life does this to you? You just go fishing again. You just keep fishing, Jess. You just keep fishing. Elijah, you just keep playing. You just keep doing it. You don't give up. You get back in the boat and you launch out. You launch out. You get away from that place that's common. Every loser, every washed up fisherman is on the dock. They're all there. There's a lot of them. There's a lot of used to be church on the North Coasters. Right, elders? I mean, there's a lot of them out there. I go places, they're like, what church are you? I'm a church on the coast. I used to go there. I mean, everywhere I go, I used to go there. Yeah, yeah. A lot of washed up fishermen. A lot of fishermen out there. But what our tendency to do, when we're not catching fish, when greatness isn't being revealed in our lives, you know what we tend to do? We chase others. Have you ever looked out on the lake, because we all live here, have you ever looked out on the lake and saw the cluster of boats out there on a summer day, and you're like, that big old lake, and they're all right there. You ever see that? That's what we do in the Spirit. Somebody comes in and they operate in their greatness and they're like, whoa, man, let me hang out with you. Just get whatever it is you got on you, on me, and your greatness will become my greatness, and then I'll be great and we'll just hang out and be great together. We'll sit over here in our just great little fishing party and all of our boats will be hanging out with one another. That's what we do. That's not God's plan. That's not his plan for you. Your greatness is yours. Your glory is yours. It's yours, Amanda. Your greatness belongs to you. It doesn't belong to somebody else. You weren't meant to share your greatness. Your greatness was meant to complement her greatness. Not intimidate it. Not cause it fear. Not push it down, not suppress it, not, don't you dare talk about it. I just want to, can I interject here? Rabbit trail. Somebody, I caught somebody one time talking about my wife. One time. This person put their mouth, allegorically speaking, on my wife. Didn't know I was listening. Excuse me? What was that you said about my bride? One time. Talk about her. Talk about her. Don't you dare touch her. You touch my wife. You touch my wife, you will catch. You won't. I have to ask Jesus for forgiveness later. You hear me? Now, the next time, church. We get the notion, we get the We get the we want to talk about our sisters and brothers. Talk about them. You want to put your mouth on your sister or your brother and talk bad and demeaning and accuse and fault find and backbite? I want you to know the next time you do that, I want you to realize that you're talking about the bride of Jesus. You've put your hands on Jesus' bride. And if I won't stand for it, Jesus literally died for his bride. I wouldn't go putting your hands on her or your words on her. I would be very, very careful about how we treat. We ought to be very tender to one another, because realize that I am the bride of Christ. You are, and that's hard for a man to swallow. How is a man a bride? I don't know. It's a mystery that Christ will reveal, but I've accepted it. Bible says, touch not the anointed one. Don't touch him. I don't know where I was when I left that story. Where, rabbit trail back. Help me back. We go great. We go looking for greatness of others. We go try to. In fishing world, I don't know much about it, but look, I went fishing one time with a guy. And there were all the other people were catching fish. It was John Civic, me and John, and Minister Greg, Pastor Greg, and there was a couple others who went, right? And there was boats out there, and they were all catching fish, except us. And this guy was hot. He was mad. And they're talking on a little radio, and he's throwing his radio, and just, he's so mad. He was so angry that everyone else was catching fish and he wasn't. And we're just sitting back going, bro, we're anointed. We're blessed. Just take it easy, man. You know, there was a lot of power in that boat at that moment. We're like, chill. It's okay. But you know how frustrating it is that everybody else is limiting and you're not catching anything. Don't go chasing other boats. You know, Jesus knows. He knows the lake. He knows. He's the master of the fish. You're a master fisherman, but he is the master of the fish. He's the master of the greatness within you. You get to harness the greatness, but he's the master of it. Whenever he says, let it out, it's going to come. The trick is to just get back in the boat and go again. Get back in the boat, church. Go again. Get excited about the greatness within you. Don't get so discouraged that you quit. Don't get so discouraged that you start telling others, you know, with your life and your testimony, you start testifying with your life of God's inability to reveal your greatness. Don't do that. Just get back in the boat and go fishing again. And when they ask you, hey, how come you don't got any fish yet? Just look them back in the eyes and say, my catch is coming. Just look them back in the face and say, it's coming. I know it's coming. It's coming. It's very, 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 very close. It's right underneath me. As a matter of fact, it's right under. I can see the fish on the screen. I can see it in the spirit. I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. It's about to break free any day now. My greatness is about to surface and reveal itself to the world. And they're going to marvel at the glory of God that is released from within me in that moment. I have this dream of 30,000. I know it's there. I sense it. I smell it. I see it. I know it's right underneath my feet. I'm looking at the little detector there, and I'm going, God, when it's going to happen? When is it going to happen? When are we going to see this revival break free? I see it and sense it and know it. It's about to happen. It's one more launch. One more letdown. Just we're this close. Get back in the water. Set your sail and head for the deep place. You got to go deeper. You just got to go deeper. He said, I'm deep. I'm deep. No, no, no. Don't get religious. Get deep. Get, just get, know him more. commune more. Because if you can get with the commander of the fish, there's not a whole lot that can keep the greatness suppressed. I was with Adrian the other day, my brother, and he's telling me this story. He's like, "Troy, I literally believe that God is with me everywhere I go." He's like, "I started off just slightly believing. And then he showed himself up in my slightest of belief. And now it's like, Troy, I swear." And you know, it's really happening. Like this greatness is about to reveal itself in his life. And he's like, his dreams are like a page away. They're a whisper away from actually manifesting. And he is like, you talk to him. Just go talk to him yourself. You talk to him and he'll be like, "Man, you cannot believe. Everywhere I go, Jesus is there and he's hooking me up." See, God showed this to me the other day. You know, God needs our faith, our belief to build our destinies, right? That's all he needs. He just needs some faith. And so, but based upon what we believe God's going to do for us, suddenly now he begins to unfold that. This building exists because all of you patriarchs and matriarchs of faith stood here on this soil one day, a long time ago, in 1991, I think it was, and you sat here and you said, "I believe," and you believed. And what happened? Boom. Church on the North Coast is big and bad and pulling off some cool stuff. Now look. Now if faith builds destiny, if belief builds destiny, what do you think the enemy's trying to get you to do? He's trying to get you to believe in his plan for you. Every time you suppress God's plan, you embrace his. Every time. Just begin to believe him for something small. If you don't have that much, just say, "I believe him for like $5. I don't know. Believe him for like sunshine tomorrow. You know, believe him for something real small. And when it comes to pass, believe him for something bigger. He said, "Try me, test me, try me. See if I won't open up the windows of heaven for you." And that ain't just money, y'all. That is not just money. He said, "He's going to open up the windows of heaven." The windows, if heaven's windows open up. I was at the shop the other day with Lou, and he opened up one door, and he opened up the window, and all of a sudden, man, the wind came through there so fierce that it picked up all the paperwork and threw it through the whole office. Just, like, as fast as you could say now, it's whoosh, it was everywhere. I was like, "Shut the window." That's how God's window works. You know, open the window, wham, and it comes out at you. The fish are elusive, though. Luke 5:1 says, so it was as he stood by and he pressed him to hear the word of God that he stood by the lake. Near is not enough, church. I'm closing. Near is not enough. Jesus was near the boat, but he wasn't in it. You catch that? See, there's a lot of people that think that because they come near the proximity of Jesus, they just come in here and warm a seat, that somehow the master of the fish will somehow reveal their greatness because they get within the earshot of him, or they get within proximity of him. Proximity doesn't reveal greatness. The only way the great catch that was there revealed itself is when Peter got in the boat with Jesus and they went fishing together. Now, when that happened, suddenly there was a greatness that was right underneath the surface that was there the whole time but couldn't reveal itself until Jesus was in the boat. And some of us are trying to do this thing. You know, you're out there watching and you're trying to do this thing by just being near those who have Jesus in their boat. Don't work like that. Don't work like that. You got your own boat, and Jesus has to be in it. If Jesus isn't in your boat, your greatness will never be revealed. You'll get close, you'll get frustrated, you'll walk in fear, you'll walk in intimidation, you'll walk in doubt, because you'll be like, "I got near him, how come? But it wasn't until Jesus got in the boat. Now, time. There is this problem of time. How many know that fish have a window of time that they like to be caught in? I know that, and I don't even fish that much, because fishing is for guys who don't know how to hunt. But ain't that right, Danny? It's just for guys that don't know how to hunt. Just kidding, but no, for real, though. If you need to hunt, just come out. I'll teach you. That was a little bit of greatness being released. Don't worry about that. But fish like to be caught within a certain time frame. There's a time. And we have this time problem, don't we? We do have this time problem. Time is definitely something out there on the horizon that we have that reminds us every day that the greatness in us hasn't been revealed yet. You know, I'm 40 years old. I will be in October. Can I tell you that I sense the pressure of time? It causes me to reflect back on the fish I've caught today. I ain't caught as many fish as I'd like. I need one of them patches, you know, for them fishermen that go fishing. I need some patches, Jesus. I need an endorsement on my boat. It says, Jesus is Lord. Fishing for Jesus. Heaven's fisher of men. But time will do that. And especially for us more statesmen in time. Yeah, I said it nice, didn't I? The older you are, the more pressure you feel. The more you tend to think back on the fish you didn't catch. The more you tend to dwell on what never was. The more you lament and you regret. God, if I'd only. Jesus, man, if I'd have just, you know, if that one day, if I'd have, I wish I would have did this. Wish I, man. And your heart breaks because you realize what it's all about. Because we're from eternity, aren't we? We've been seated with Christ in heavenly places. We've been born again of the Spirit. And the Spirit knows no bounds. It has no limit. It is Alpha and Omega. It just goes on and on forever. But now we live within the bounds of time as children of eternity. And it frustrates us. Creates agony in our soul. Because all we want to do as children of greatness that come from the land of greatness, all we want to do is reveal greatness to time. You just want to let the greatness that's in you out. You're like, God, I just got to get this great thing out, and I don't have much time. It's not enough. You know, I was out eating lunch the other day, and all these parents were there after the signing thing, and there was this one woman, and all she talked about was, you know, fear of dying. You know, she just kept talking about it. And I thought, man, let me introduce you to death so you can just shake hands with it and get on with life. You know what I mean? Just shake hands with it already. Understand that we're all going to that place. That it's out there on the horizon. And you know, you can either let it haunt you or you can allow it to inspire you. Because fish, they operate in time. Here's what Jesus said. He said, let down, launch out into the deep. Get in your boat. Come on, let's launch out into the deep. And when we're there, let down your nets. We'll get to nets next week. And Peter says this. Look at what Peter says. Luke 5:5, he says, Simon answered and he said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. I'm so tired. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down my net. The one who who mastered time, who conquered time's intimidation. He was in the grave, and time thought it had him conquered, but then he just stood up and he walked out of the grave. And he said, look, time does not harness me. Time does not intimidate me. Time does not create fear for me. Time does not frustrate me. The one who lives in you is not afraid of the end of time. He's not wincing at the fact that your greatness, no matter how old you are, hasn't yet surfaced. He's not sitting up there going, ooh, gotta do something quick to get the greatness revealed in you. Peter just said, at your word. Because your word, it frames the world. Your world creates something from nothing. And at your word, I'm confident. Drops the net. Probably only had the energy to drop one net. He was probably so tired. He probably only put one in. And he drops that net. And suddenly the boat tips to one side. He's like, help me, help me, help me. My greatness is being revealed right now. It's surfacing. And he brings that net up, and suddenly the boat is full of the greatness of God for his life. And I declare to you tonight that at the word of the Lord, come on, stand on your feet, at the word of the Lord tonight, come on, just raise your hand if you want your greatness to be revealed within time. Every hand raised, I declare tonight, the word of the Lord is revealing your greatness in this hour. You've been tired and you're weary and you're frustrated. Greatness. Greatness, that thing you always knew is there, is being revealed. Revealed in Jesus' name, I declare marriages restored and whole. I declare healing virtue. The greatness of God, that dreams and destinies are alive again. Oh God, thank you. Thank you for bringing a church alive again. That she would launch one more time. That she would let down her nets. She would trust your word more than her circumstance. Come on, that's a word. Trust his word more than your circumstance. And his word says launch and let down your nets tonight, Lord. I pray for a great revealing of every person's greatness in this room. No more intimidation. No more shrinking back. No more false humility. But to reveal the glory of God. That we would walk in our greatness as a testimony of your greatness towards us. Because you said, greater work shall we do. We release it now. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Hey, before you leave, if you don't know Jesus, I want to introduce you to him tonight. We're going to have our altar ministers come forward. Altar ministers, if you can come forward, we want to pray for you before you leave.
Can I give a testimony?
Absolutely. Grandma Jenny's going to give us a testimony.
Today I said, Lord, I want to feel closer to you. I want to feel your presence. And so I was reading this one page and reviewing a little page of a book, and it said, feel closer to God, seek him, go after him. And I said, okay, go, Lord, I'm going to do that. So then I hurried up and got ready for church. Then when Leon Timbo was playing before church, I was up over here worshiping. And of course, we had all this wonderful thing going on. All of a sudden, I have had a pain in here for a long time. And all I know is during that time when I was over there and he was singing and worshiping, suddenly that pain left and it has not come back. And it has been there for years. We've got a God and he's going to answer you just like he does us, because we have a church with wonderful hearts here for the Lord.
Amen.
And this is what we need.
Amen.
The word to keep giving us life.
Amen.
And we find it. And we found it or you wouldn't be here. So we know there's truth.
Come on. Put your hands together for the Lord tonight, church. If you need prayer tonight, we want to pray for you. If you don't know the Lord, if you need prayer for healing in your body, Jesus heals. Long-standing sickness right there was healed just in the atmosphere where he's at. God bless you, church. Can we get the altar ministers to come forward? If you're here tonight and you're an altar minister, or maybe if you know you're an altar minister, if you need prayer tonight, if you don't know Jesus, you don't know him the way he was talked about today, what are you waiting for? Your greatness is waiting for Jesus to step into your boat. God bless you. Live right, love everybody, pray hard. We'll see you tomorrow night in Valley View or over at Alpha. God bless you.